broadcasting from Cincinnati.
You're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Podcast, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Ringside Robert, and we have a great show for you today. And as always, you can catch us on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com. And today we're going to talk about Nike drops Manny Pacquiao after his anti-gay comments. We're also going to talk about Errol Spence. He is signed to fight Chris Algieri. I was shocked when I heard the signing, but I'm really excited about it. And you won't believe who's on that undercard. It's a great undercard. Our history lesson today goes all the way back to February 20th, 1993. The most people ever to attend a fight, Julio Cesar Chavez versus Greg Haugen. Did I mention in that fight there is a moat surrounding the ring? We'll get to that. But first, we get started with controversy in Germany. This weekend, Felix Sturm became a five-time champion by beating Fedor Chudinov for the WBA Super Middleweight Championship. This was a tough one, man. This is a very, very super close fight. Former world middleweight champion Felix Sturm dethroned previously unbeaten WBA super middleweight champion Fedor Chudinov via 12-round majority decision on Saturday night at the Pilsner Arena in Oberhausen, Germany. There's a city in there somewhere. I can't pronounce it.
Okay.
The 37-year-old Sturm, who was attempting to become the first-ever five-time German world champion, got off to a good start, but Chudinov landed the heavier shots. Sturm did pretty well over the course of the fight, but Chudinov really had a higher work rate through the fight. Sturm did good. A lot of his punches, though, I noticed through the fight, didn't really land. They were being blocked by Chudinov. This was a tough one, man. Even though it was a close fight, man, I'm not 100% sure that they got this one correct.
I had it
116-112 for Chudinov. The scores were, officially, 114-114 a draw that was overridden, 115-113 and 115-113 both for Felix Sturm. Huh. Now, let's complicate matters even more. All right, let's go to the punch stat on this, because this is what was really eye-opening was the punch stat numbers, according to CopyBox. Sturm landed 184 of 605 punches for 30%. All right, Chudinov landed 297 punches, over 100 punches more, and threw 1,022 punches through the course of the fight. Almost over 400 punches more, over 100 more punches landed, over 400 punches more thrown. Power punches, Sturm landed 143 of 349, and Chudinov landed 226 of 698. I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, the counters were so in favor of Chudinov in this fight. When you look at the numbers and the stats and, you know, the punch stats especially, I mean, he threw more, he landed more at a higher percentage, or just at it, basically the even percentage right there, 30.4 for Sturm and 29.1 for Chudinov. This is, I mean, yeah, this is a tough one to call. I mean, if you want to call this for Sturm, that's a pretty...
You know what I believe this sets up?
What's that?
Since Sturm won and he didn't look impressive, now I have to take your word for it because I didn't get to listen to it or see this. But remember, Bernard Hopkins is looking for a fight at 168. What do you bet he makes a fight now with Felix Sturm to take that title?
Possibly. Sturm didn't look bad. I mean, Sturm looked really focused in the fight. He didn't look bad. I think Chudinov just looked good, too. I mean, they both looked really good. If you're thinking about, like, an easy out, man, I wouldn't really call Sturm or either one of these guys out. I mean, both of them looked pretty good.
No, because Hopkins was rumored to be fighting Chudinov if he won. So I'm thinking if Sturm got a gift decision here, maybe the executioner takes a look at that and says, there's an easy out. Maybe that's what he'll think, and maybe he'll take that fight. And it'll be interesting to see if if Hopkins can get him to come over to the States, because the last time Sturm came over to the States, he got ripped off by Oscar De La Hoya.
That's one of those fights I still stand firm to this day. I thought Sturm won, and he won handily. He won that fight fairly easily with that jab. I had never seen, Oscar was just completely controlled by that jab the entire night.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to pull out a decision somehow, whether he had all that money on the line with that Trinidad fight coming up next, he beat Sturm. Wasn't the Trinidad fight was next, I believe.
Yeah.
But he had to get past Sturm, and, they picked him for that reason. He's a European fighter. He never fought over here, and I don't think he's fought over here since. I thought that when Sturm beat De La Hoya in that fight, that you saw a superstar born, man. I thought that he was going to be the next guy. I thought he was going to come out, and you're going to see him fight a lot more often. He's going to get some big paydays in the States by a lot of good fighters. You had Corte at the time. You had a lot of good fighters.
Yeah, but he flat out told everybody here in the States after that, I'm never fighting over here again.
Yeah.
I wonder if Bernard, Golden Boy, HBO and company can put enough money together to make him change his mind.
I don't know. I wouldn't want to see that fight anyway, to be honest with you. I don't want to see that, Hopkins and Sturm. Sturm has already talked about retiring anyway after this fight. He's become a 5-time champion, which, the first one in German history. He's already made history in Germany. He's got really nothing left to prove. And he did look, he looked good, but he looked older. You know what I mean? He looked like it was catching up with him.
Look, I'm not abdicating the fight.
Sure.
Let me make that clear. But since Hopkins, at the age of 51, is still abdicating that he wants to fight at 168, well, there you go. Because if he gets in there against Golovkin, he's going to get killed. Because he's also talking about putting a fight together with Triple G if nobody wants to fight Triple G. So
you think he'll get killed with Triple G? He stood in there with Kovalev.
I believe Triple G is a more accurate puncher, Eric.
You think it's a combination of him being an accurate puncher or just Hopkins getting older and
both? Both. Look, it's been a year or two. That fight took place in 2014, right, with Hopkins and Kovalev. So I'm thinking, we're looking at a 2-year absence out of the ring. He's now 2 years older. That's an easy payday for a Golovkin. Hopkins may look at Sturm and say, well, if he didn't look good and he got a gift decision, why don't I bring him over here and see if I can get a retirement party?
Yeah, it's tough, man. I scored the fight, like I said, I scored it for Chudinov. It was a close fight. It was a close fight. I would have gave the nod to Chudinov. I'm not 100% sure how Sturm got it.
It's a hometown, home country decision, man.
Yeah, I feel bad. I do. I feel bad for Chudinov, man. But I tell you, after, especially when seeing the punch stats and the fight itself, it was very competitive, but it looked like to me, like I said, Chudinov was getting the edge. Plus, he's the champion. It was a tough one. It was a tough one to swallow.
In order to take a title, don't you have to be the champion convincingly?
Yeah, I guess unless you're in the challenger's hometown.
Look at Kovalev. He just went to Canada for the second time to fight Pascal, and neither time did that hometown advantage help John Pascal. So
no, not even on the scorecards did it. Scorecards came out after the fight, it sure didn't.
Yeah, so... I don't know. I'm not abdicating that Hopkins fight. I'd rather see him retire. But, I'm just saying, I know how boxing works. I could see something like this occur.
I think you're more likely to see a Triple G Hopkins fight than you are a Sturm Hopkins fight, because Triple G commands more money.
Hey, Eric, I totally buy that, but I don't want to see that because I don't want to see him get hurt. And I'm afraid that that's exactly what would happen.
I agree. I don't know that he would get hurt in that fight. If they fought, I think Hopkins breaks that record. He breaks Triple G's streak of knockouts. I don't think he wins the fight, But I think he breaks that streak of Nagy. I mean, you're not Bernard Hopkins, man. He's tough to hit. He's tough to hit clean.
At the age of 51, you think he'd still be tough?
What was it? At the age of 49? He went the distance with Kovalev.
Yeah, well,
Kovalev, I mean, you see what he's doing to guys, and he's heavier.
I know. Yeah.
You know, 15 pounds heavier.
Well, you know, if you want to establish yourself as a true knockout king, and you'd be the only one to ever knock out Bernard Hopkins,
yeah,
that would be a statement.
That would be a big statement. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, and like I said, man, even though he's 51, man, I mean, he's still got, you know. He's still got that ring general, you know, he's still got that ring prowess. He's got that ring IQ. He knows what he's doing. But again, man, and I'm with you on this fight too. You know, his reflexes aren't going to be there because he's not going to have those same reflexes he did when he was 20, you know.
That's why I say if Sturm is looking vulnerable, that might be the easier way for Hopkins to retire if he is hell bent on pulling a Roy Jones and still wanting to fight, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I'd be interested to see the punch stats in Bernard Hopkins' last few fights, and see, because work rate at this time, you know, work rate usually beats Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at the Dawson fight, if you look at even if you go back to the Calzaghe fight,
yeah.
Work rate right now will beat Hopkins. Work rate will beat Hopkins.
Did Sturm have enough activity against Chutinov to beat Hopkins?
600, was it 600-some punches? 650
yeah.
or something crazy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 605. And at Chutinov, of course, threw 1,022. I mean, that's
Catch this, because it's hard for me to talk about a fight I didn't see.
Right. Well, now also too, after the fight, now Chudinov, his camp actually filed a protest against the decision against Felix Sturm. But they're saying Chudinov camp states that the gloves he used were defective, and had they been given proper gloves, he would have put Sturm away within the
I think that's going to be difficult to prove.
Well, the gloves apparently had paint chipping off of them, while Sturm's gloves kind of remained intact. So they were Grant gloves, and apparently I didn't see the gloves, but I'm just going by what I read here that there was paint chipped off them. You know, and I know that Grant gloves, they paint like logos and stuff, you know, that Grant logo or whatever they got on them. I know those are, a lot of those are hand painted and they're like hand, you know, you can get them like hand custom and everything like that.
Right. Now,
I do know that a lot of people have complained about Grant gloves, regular guys that buy the Grant gloves off their, you know, and you can't even buy them off a website. You have to Twitter them. You have to go to Twitter, then they'll give you like a design. I mean, you can actually have them designed for you and everything like that, and buy them like that. So, but I know, and the gloves are anywhere from like $300 to $500 a pair.
But if you watched the fight, you didn't see anything unusual?
No, but I'm also not watching it in a high def, and I don't see the gloves after the fact either.
Okay, all right.
And like if you ever have like a pair of worn boxing gloves,
right?
You know, and you can kind of see it, the chips and everything on them and stuff like that, and it's kind of like you see them breaking down and stuff like that, like on a pair of really older boxing gloves, or a pair that's really heavily used.
Okay,
that's kind of what I envision here, but I think that would be awfully difficult to, you know, because if it's just paint chipped off and it's just a cosmetic thing, to me that's not a huge, you know.
Yeah. Well, if Sturm goes ahead with the retirement that he's talking about, then I guess Chudinov would be one of the people in line to regain that title, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if they actually, you know, mandated a rematch or something like that. I mean, because Chudinov won their first fight, Sturm comes back and wins their second fight, so definitely.
Yeah, well, they need to put it in a location outside of Germany. That's my, you know.
Yeah, I don't know where the first one took place.
Okay.
I don't know where the first one took place, but
because it's very hard to walk into Germany and beat Felix Sturm. I think only didn't Martin Murray, isn't he the only one to actually get a draw? Or did he actually beat Sturm?
You know what? I can't remember. I can't remember, to be honest with you.
You know, I think Martin Murray is the only one that actually came closest to actually beating Sturm in Germany. I don't know if he, I think he got a draw. But normally when you walk into Germany and you fight a Felix Sturm, you're normally going to walk out with an L.
Yeah. Yeah, which is unfortunate. You know, I mean, it's that's unfortunate, you know, because you want to get a fair shake. I mean, you're giving him the benefit of the doubt going to his hometown and home
country. I mean, frankly, that's why Vladimir Klitschko has staged a lot of his fights over there, because he basically gets gift decisions. Now, granted, most of the time, Klitschko dominated most of his opponents, so the judging never came into question.
Right.
But, that's why I was very surprised that Tyson Fury actually got the decision, because normally when Klitschko fights in Germany, he's like Felix Sturm. He gets a hometown decision.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with that fight, though, is, I mean, you really, it's like, you know, that fight wasn't even close, you know.
No, I know.
It's like you were hard-pressed to find a round to give Klitschko when it's that one-sided.
Yeah, I didn't give him a round. And one fighter only landed 86 punches, and the other fighter only landed 53. I mean, come on, that's a college basketball score.
Yeah, right?
You know?
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, congratulations to Sturm. Let's hope they either give them a rematch so they can do it for a third time outside of Germany, or he retires and Chutinov, fights somebody and regains his title, depending on who they put him up against.
Right. All right. Let's talk about the another fight this weekend. Diego De La Hoya. Oscar's
nephew,
redheaded stepchild nephew, I guess.
Yeah.
Versus Arturo Badillo. Diego De La Hoya continues his win streak. Man, he looked good. Fourth round knockout over Arturo Badillo. Man, in round two, De La Hoya appeared to be cut over the left eye. Landed a low blow on Badillo to earn a referee's warning. De La Hoya tagged Badillo in round three with some big punches. He boxed. He pressed forward and a left hook to the body. Did it in round four, man. Just crunched him. And that was it, man. That liver shot. A minute, 11 seconds into round
four. Oscar, come on. You got to be fair to your family. Put your family member on TV, brother.
What is he doing over there, man? What is he doing? That guy must be in a doghouse for something, man. I don't know. He must be in a dog. Maybe he was talking to Heyman or something like that. He just signed him and didn't put him on TV. Or something. I don't know, man. But, yeah, put your boy on TV, man. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. I mean, hell, Joseph Diaz Jr. is going to get a HBO date, come on, be nice to your relative. Give him an HBO date.
He's a good fighter. He's a good fighter, man. He's a good fighter, too. He's really good. So I imagine once he hits that 20 mark or 18 mark, he's 14-0 now.
Yeah.
They're going to keep him on there as long as they can, and then they're gonna look to move him up. You know, because the guy he fought was 20-10.
Yeah.
You know, you know, just a veteran, which, you know, hey, it's a tough fight for him. Anybody who's got 30 fights, man, he's been around, man. That's a tough guy.
Right. Yeah.
On Unimas this weekend, Jesse Magdaleno beat Ray Perez, scored a seventh-round KO. And Phoenix, Arizona, Magdaleno rated number one by the WBO, dominated the first six rounds and then floored Perez with a body shot in round seven to end it. Yeah, Perez was never in this fight, man. He was also a late sub, too.
Yeah.
That was the other thing, too. He was a late sub, so, it's tall order.
Now, that means, with him being rated number one in the WBO, now, what division is he fighting?
Let's see, super bantamweight.
That would put him in, what, Chocolatito territory, maybe?
Yeah, let's see where they got him here.
Because that means he's up for a title shot.
Let's see, super bantamweight, WBO.
That means he'd be up for a title shot if he's number one ranked.
Nonito Donaire is the WBO champion.
Well,
Along with the other champions, we'll talk about these guys in a minute. Carl Frampton, okay. Scott Quigg, Guillermo Rigondeaux, and Julio Ceja. So
I could see Magdaleno fighting Donaire.
Yeah, I think it'd be great.
Yeah, I could see that happening. And Donaire's very vulnerable these days. Nicholas Walters proved that.
Yeah.
Okay. Boy, there's a lot of free titles to be had.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, that pretty much did it for the weekend's action. There was a card on, there was some Showbox stuff, and there was some,
I think there was a
CBS stuff. Nothing really worth mentioning, nothing
right.
really worth talking about. So,
believe me, I watched both of those cards, and if I don't want to talk about them, they weren't worth talking about. So.
Absolutely, man. So let's talk about the upcoming fights, man. This weekend is packed. If you love boxing, man, this weekend is for you.
Yes, it is.
Let's talk about the big one. Actually, I think there's two big ones, man. I think... We'll talk about Terrence Crawford first, but I think the fight of the main event, man, is that Carl Frampton Scott Quick.
That's right.
I have been waiting and waiting for over a year for that fight, man. I've been waiting, and I can't believe they made it. I can't believe it's this weekend. Unbelievable. But let's talk about Terrence Crawford. This is a good fight, too, man. On HBO, Saturday, February 27th in New York, Terrence Crawford versus Hank Lundy. The illest man in Nebraska, Terrence Crawford, WBO junior welterweight title on the line. Also, too, Felix Verdejo versus William Silva, who's undefeated, 10 rounds. Both guys are undefeated, 10 rounds, lightweights. Now, let's talk about that Crawford fight here for a minute, man. Man, this is a good fight, man. Hank Lundy is going to be in his face.
Yeah, I know.
Fight.
If you got a DVR, you're going to fill it up this weekend with HBO and Showtime having two cards.
Yeah. This is no joke, man. This is no Hank Lundy is no joke. He is a rough guy. I fully expect Crawford to take care of business in this one.
Yeah, no. Terrence is. You don't name him Fighter of the Year in 2014 without reason. I felt bad for him because he didn't have a very good 2015 because they didn't give him any real opponents. A lot of people I've heard criticize this fight, you know, even those that know boxing, because they want to see Crawford in there against somebody who they feel is legitimate. But Hank Lundy is no joke. This is Crawford's consolation prize for not getting the Manny Pacquiao reward, and he should take care of business.
Yeah, I mean, who are you going to put him in there with? I mean, Crawford, there's really nobody, Matisse, he's done.
Yeah.
Provodnikov, he's done too. You're not going to put him in there with that. Yeah. You got Mauricio Herrera, ranked number 4 by the WBO.
Well, I like Mauricio. He gives everybody trouble,
I don't think he would give that guy trouble.
No, of course not. But remember, Lundy and Herrera fought, so... they obviously decided, okay, Lundy won that fight. We're going to give him the Crawford fight. So maybe you could see Crawford and Herrera down the road somewhere.
You know, you got in the IBF, you got Edward Troyanovsky, who I can't wait to see again. He's the one that dethroned the best ever Cesar Cuenca.
That's right.
You know, the WBA, you got Adrian Bronner, who's also fighting. We'll talk about that later on.
Yeah.
And then you got Victor Postol. I mean, you got good guys. I mean, I think Terrence Crawford versus Victor Postol is probably the most makeable fight.
Yeah, I think that
for a unification, that's probably the most makeable.
I think that fight can be made, and also since doors are opening, your boy in Cincinnati may have to deal with the illest man
in Nebraska.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind that at all, man. I think that's a good fight. That's a decent fight right there. I mean, Adrian Bronner, who comes in, you know, like I said, he's dipped his toe in the water at welterweight. He bounces from 140 to 147. Yeah, I don't mind that at all.
No, I think
140 is his best weight.
Yeah, I could see now that doors are starting. Boy, they don't take me seriously with some of these fights that are occurring, man. Adrian may not be able to hide with the Ashley Field pains of the world much longer.
Yeah, like I said, man, you win and you call out somebody ranked number 40. Get out of here.
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, so let's talk about the Crawford Lundy fight a little bit more. Let's talk about, what do you think about Hank Lundy's chances in this fight? How do you think, I mean, do you think that he just comes forward and that's a perfect style for Crawford?
Oh, yeah, I think Crawford is going to have fun with that. Lundy, I don't know if Lundy's capable of it, but if he could actually box instead of being a coming forward fighter, I think Crawford wouldn't be prepared for that because he's probably seen a lot of Lundy's fights. He probably, oh, this is going to be not too bad, you know?
Right.
But if Hank could change up his strategy, that really throw a whole chink in the armor. If Lundy comes forward like he always does, it may be a short night, you know?
Yeah, I think that Lundy's done that for his entire career.
Yeah.
To ask him to change now is just like, you know, that's not going to work for him.
No, I know.
And I think he's going to play into Crawford's hands. The problem I have with Crawford is that sometimes he's a little bit too slow of a starter, you know.
Well, frankly, he's been put in against people that has allowed him to do that. And
yeah.
I don't know if Hank Lundy's going to change that process. He might, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah, it's very true. Very true. But yeah, I see Crawford winning. I see him winning a big via knockout.
There's no doubt he's going to win. I mean, I'd be shocked if Terrence Crawford lost this fight.
Yeah, and then Felix Verdejo on the undercard. They're talking about him, man, and like he's going to be the next Puerto Rican superstar, man. And he's going to fight William Silva, who's undefeated, 10 rounds. These guys are lightweights. I don't think they're going to put any Felix Verdejo in with anybody that serious right now.
No, and Felix has got hand issues, so.
Yeah.
Every time he fights, you got to worry about that, you know.
All right, let's see if he's, I mean, yeah, Felix Verdejo is ranked number 7 in the IBF, it looks like here.
Yeah.
That's it. He doesn't look like he's ranked anywhere else. And I tell you what, man, so he's got in the champion of the IBF in the lightweight division is Rancis Bartholomew. And that guy's no joke either, man. That guy's a tough, tough guy.
Yeah.
You also got Peter Petrov in the division, Denis Shafikov.
Right.
Alejandro Luna, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got some good fighters in there, but I think that, you know, Felix keeps on the same, his win streak and everything like that. He keeps on the path he's going.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be a tough guy to beat, man. He's a good fighter.
Absolutely.
Good, good fighter. I like seeing this guy fight, too. He's real exciting.
Yeah. You just have to worry every time he fights. He's got bad hands.
Yeah. Yeah. So
That's the chink in his armor. Because that's the only thing that's going to keep him from reaching the potential that everybody thinks he's going to have.
Yeah, a lot of fighters have had bad hands. Floyd's had bad hands, I think.
Yeah.
Didn't Jones break his hands too, Roy Jones?
Yeah, but not consistently, not like Paulie.
Pernell Whitaker and Paulie Malignaggi were the
yeah.
other two
yeah.
that I could think of right offhand
yeah.
that had a lot of hand issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paulie's openly admitted that totally changed his career, he freely admitted he had to change the way he fought because of all of his hand issues.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
You know.
Yeah, that makes complete sense, man.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the main event, man. To me, this is the main fight right here. From Manchester, England on Showtime Extreme. Carl Frampton versus Scott Quigg, 12 rounds for the Unification Junior Featherweight, IBF, and WBA Championship. This should
5:30. 5:30 for those who want to set their DVRs.
This should be dynamite, man. Scott Quigg is a knockout machine. He's got power. Carl Frampton, same way, man, a jackal, man. But he can box. He's a very good boxer as well, as he showed in his last one against Alejandro Gonzalez Jr., man.
Yep.
Good fight, man. But you can see he can get hit, too. He can get hit because he went down in that first. Didn't he go down in the first round or something?
Yes, twice.
Yeah, twice in the first. Yeah, Alejandro almost had him out of there.
Yeah. It might have been Gonzalez against Quigg if he would have. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I've seen these guys. I've wanted this fight for a long time, man. I've been waiting for over a year for this fight to be made and everything like that. This is so exciting. These are two of the best junior featherweights in the division, man. You got these two, and you got Guillermo Rigondeaux.
Leo Santa Cruz is also in that division.
Yeah, and he's fighting. Yeah. He's fighting also. And we'll talk about
yeah.
that. But
yeah.
you know, but these two are pretty much considered like the class of the division. These three: Frampton,
yep.
Quigg, and Rigondeaux.
Yeah.
Those are the guys. You know, with most people giving Rigo the nod, I don't know about
yeah.
now, but I give Rigo the nod as the best pound for pound, period.
Rigo's only on a UK undercard. I mean, come on.
It's tough, man. He's had, you know, he's had a lot of management issues, man. That's for sure. He said he wants to fight the winner of these two. Chances are that ain't going to happen.
No, not with his current management situation.
That ain't going to happen, man. He'd be better off getting Eddie Hearn and Kathy Duver, one of those two guys, to manage his career, you know?
Yeah, no, Leo has already said he wants the winner of these two.
Yeah, he wants them too, and he's more yeah. likely to get them, given the fact
that's
that they're
right.
all Heyman fighters.
Who do you think would be a better fight for him? Would it be Frampton or would it be Quigg?
For Cruz, man, I think Scott Quigg. I think Scott Quigg would be a better fight. I think he's got a better chance of beating Scott Quigg.
Okay. Do you think Scott Quigg's got a better chance of beating him?
I think both, man, because I think Carl Frampton's box is good enough
right.
to beat Santa Cruz.
Okay.
But he also likes to slug. I tell you what, I think Santa Cruz has got a decent shot against either one of these guys.
Okay. Because I think Leo's got a layup on Saturday night. That's just my opinion. I don't think
yeah.
Martinez has got
oh,
much
yeah.
left.
No. Yeah, he's got that's an easy
yeah.
fight for him.
Yeah.
So who do you like in the Frampton Quigg match, man? Who do you think about this?
Well, I've never seen Scott Quigg. So I have to go with a jackal because at least I've seen him. I don't like to pick somebody I haven't seen, I might be wrong because of my lack of knowledge, but I'll go with the jackal, Carl Frampton, in this fight. And I know you're taking Scott Quigg, and that's
yeah.
good for the show, man.
I'm going to take Scott Quigg in this, man. I like Quigg a lot, especially I've liked him more and more.
Yeah.
You know, as this has gone on and as I've heard him talk, he sounds like such a down-to-earth guy. He sounds like a regular guy, you know what I mean?
Now, who has the hometown advantage? Because they're both from the UK here.
I really don't think either one of them do. I think that
I think this
is going to go, you know, I think this will be split right down the middle, to be honest. I think
all
that
right.
Both guys are going to be fine there.
And remember, if you're going to be tuning in, get your tea and crumpets ready because you're going to be hearing the British guys do the play-by-play of this.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So,
and I see Scott Quigg. I don't know that he's got an. I think Scott Quigg is going to catch him. I just
okay.
think he's going to catch him.
Well, again, I can't pick somebody I've never seen. So
if it goes a distance, Frampton wins it. If there's a knockout, I think Quigg's got it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to be looking forward to watching this fight either way because I've never seen Scott Quigg, so I'd tune in for that reason alone. But
yeah.
everybody's talked about these two for so long, it's good to see it happen.
So excited for this fight, man. And when was the last time you were this excited to watch two British fighters fight? You know what I mean? This is just,
wouldn't the last time be Frank Bruno, Lennox Lewis?
Yeah, I think that's when, yeah, I mean, because everybody was really, really pumped up for that, you know. And, Frank Bruno, obviously the sentimental favorite, you know, to a lot of people. And Lennox
right.
Lewis, the young lion coming in there. And,
yep.
yeah, I mean, just amazing, man.
Although in that fight, the UK favored, the fans favored Bruno because he was a legitimate UK person. And, of course, Lennox Lewis being born in Jamaica and then living in London and then going to Canada, the UK people didn't consider Lennox Lewis a true Brit. You know?
You guys are nuts over there, man. That's
yeah.
just such crazy. I mean, that's
yeah.
so crazy. I mean, like, you know, he lived in London, you know. He listened to him speak, you know. He's British,
yeah.
you know.
It's kind of like the whole Ted Cruz situation, being born in Canada, and people are trying to say he's not eligible to run for president. So, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, did you hear, what was it on the debate the other night, Cruz and Rubio were going back and forth, and one was accusing the other of not speaking Spanish, and then they end up speaking Spanish to each other during the debate.
Yeah, that's right.
What's the matter with you guys, man?
you almost need a translator for something like that. You know?
I'm thinking to myself, man, I hope Robbie's not watching this. He's probably changing the station right about now. It's like watching Unimas for him, you know?
No. Hell, if I could ever learn Spanish, I'd have no problem with it, but languages have never been my strong suit. So,
man.
Anyway.
All right. So after the Frampton fight, after the Frampton Quig fight, Showtime's got a regular card from Anaheim, California, and that features Leo Santa Cruz versus Kiko Martinez, 12 rounds for Santa Cruz's WBA featherweight title. And then Julio Ceja versus Hugo Ruiz. It's a rematch, 12 rounds for Ceja's WBC junior featherweight title.
And then they open the card with a heavyweight fight.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be Gerald Washington versus Oscar Rivas, 10-round heavyweights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, no, we're flooded with boxing on Saturday, man.
Yeah, and I think Santa Cruz, this is an easy fight for him. I think he beats Kiko Martinez pretty easy.
Yeah.
Santa Cruz's style, man, is just action-packed, man. If you don't like Santa Cruz, man, if you don't like watching Santa Cruz, I don't know what to tell you, man, because this guy is action-packed from start to finish. He doesn't stop playing.
I love watching Leo. Yeah.
And I know he's taking a lot of flack, you know, for not fighting people, man. But he's the real deal. I really believe, man, he's the real deal. He's a good fighter.
Well, that's why I asked who would be better, Frampton or Quig, because you know people are going to be clamoring for the for whoever wins that fight to fight Leo. So.
Yeah, you know. I think, man, like I said, man, I think Cruz stands a chance to beat either, and I think either stands a chance to beat Cruz. It's that kind of fight.
All right, cool. Either way. All right.
Now, also, too, you know, we talked about Germany earlier. At Halle, Germany.
Okay.
Marco Hook makes his return versus Ola Afolabi. This is their fourth fight. 12 rounds, cruiserweights. So if you didn't get enough for the first three, and Huck clearly won the first three because his only loss is to Glowacki.
Well, I think Huck is taking this fight so he can get his confidence back to get another shot at Glowacki.
I mean, do they only have like five fighters in Germany? I mean, seriously, what are you fighting this guy for the fourth time for? Was there a big clamoring? There's like a big undercurrent in Germany. Boy, I can't wait to see that fight again. Well, you guys ought to hook it up again, man. That was good. Those first three fights were awesome. Get out of here, you know?
All right. Okay.
So, but that's in Germany. So if you want to see it, you could probably catch it on, if you have Box Nation, I know you can catch it on there. That's where we caught the last one.
Yeah.
Sturm and Chudinov fight was on Box Nation.
Right.
You catch it on YouTube the next day, or you can catch it on Box Nation if you're lucky enough to have Box Nation.
Yeah.
So
Love to have Box Nation.
I would love to have Box Nation too. How 24/7 fight network, man? Come on, how can you beat that?
But apparently you can only get it if you're a UK resident. So,
and you know what? I tried. I went out because they have a stream. Box Nation has a stream, right? So
yeah.
I went on their website, you know, and I'm poking around. I was like, subscription. I signed up for their stream. And I'm like, get out of here. It's going to let me do it. I said, we got it. I said, I got Box Nation, you know, because I'm getting ready to pay for it and everything like that. And they were like, no, can't deliver to you. I'm like, man, this is crazy.
Yep. So
I was like, man, that just sucks.
You people in the UK, you don't know how lucky you are.
Don't know how good you have it over there across the pond. You have no clue how good you have it. Me and Robert, we're living in the dark ages over here. We don't have a 24/7 fight network. We don't have nothing like that. I got to break in my brand new 65-inch curved screen TV without Box Nation. How do you think that makes me feel? What kind of suffering am I doing over here? Come on, people.
Hell, I used to have a 50-inch 65, man. What did you put it on a wall, brother, or what?
No, we actually got a TV stand for it, so.
Oh, well, holy cow.
I know, right?
Yeah. All right. Wow. All right. Talk about an upgrade.
I know.
I mean,
it's one of those curved TVs, so even if you put it on the wall, it's still not even because it comes off the wall.
I know. That's true, yeah.
Crazy.
Okay.
Crazy, but I love it, man. Everything is live on there. It's great.
All right, cool.
All right, so let's move along. That's pretty much the fights for this weekend. Let's move along to our history lesson. Deep February 20th, 1993, Julio Cesar Chavez Sr., the good one, versus Greg Haugen, Mexico City. Of all the fights that we could have put on the history lesson, why would you put a one-sided fight on the history lesson? I mean,
well,
for one
major reason. Number one, it was carried on Showtime. Number two,
pay-per-view. It was pay-per-view. Pay-per-view, by the way.
That's right. Yeah.
It was pay-per-view.
Yeah.
All right, so why would anybody pay? You know, Don King is one heck of a promoter. That's what I got
to say. Well, and not only that, 130,000 people showed up. Think about that.
Think about it. That's bigger than soccer game stats.
Yeah.
130,000 people. Unbelievable.
Viva Mexico, man. 130,000 people. You know?
Right. How crazy is that?
Yeah, and you know, boxers have been trying to top that record ever since, and I don't think anybody will ever come close.
Well, just think about that for a second. 130,000 people. You think of any stadium. What's the big? So, what's the big house in Michigan or whatever?
And that's the biggest stadium that I know of in the U.S. And that's 110.
110.
Yeah.
And this packed 130.
Yeah.
120 more thousand.
Yeah.
Come on, man. It was the largest live attendance in boxing history. The best part about this whole thing, though, is that when it's announced, you know, because Greg Haugen had been needling Chavez and everything like that, and nobody really cared because anybody knew Haugen wasn't going to beat that guy. Couldn't beat him. And no. Don King put this fight together to go to Mexico and have this big gate and everything like that, and they put it on pay-per-view. And when this came out, I'm a huge Chavez fan, so you and I are degenerate boxing fans.
That's right.
So we're going to pay for whatever.
We buy everything. Yeah.
Especially back in the day. We're going to pay for whatever. It doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah, right.
All right, so I'm in, you know. I don't like it, but I'm in, you know. It's like one of those things. And plus, I know he had a pretty good undercard. I can't remember the undercard at the time, but I know it was a pretty good undercard.
Well, and back in the day, Don King.
Everybody
criticizes Bob Arum, and justifiably so, for some of his undercards, but you can never say that about Don King. Don King always put together one hell of an undercard.
We talked about it. Remember that fourth with Chavez and was Chavez Randall, maybe? Chavez Randall won.
Right.
They had Julian Jackson and Gerald McClellan. They had Azuma Nelson and Jesse James Leha.
Right.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous fights on that card. And these were all four title fights on one card. You don't see that.
No.
Unheard of.
Yep. No, I was all in on this one, and I knew Chavez was going to win.
Without question. The funny part, though, man, is that, like, I remember they're talking, and you know how, like, they get, you know, they do the, like, the pressers and stuff like that, and they're doing the hype machine and everything like that.
Right, right.
And you hear boxing people saying, you know, Haugen might have a chance here, you know, Chavez is getting up there, blah, blah. And, you know, you start reading all this, and you're like, maybe it might be a better fight than I'm thinking, you know? And it takes over your logic, because you've seen the two fight, you know what's going to happen. But when you watch all the hype and everything like that, you know, for the younger people out there,
this is back before the days of the internet. This is back before the days of 24/7. This is back before the days of all access. You know, they had to do completely different things back in the day to hype up a fight, you know.
You people don't understand. Me and Robert had a struggle back in the day.
That's right.
We didn't have internet. We had to rely on what they put on TV and what we could get our hands on to read.
That's right.
We had to do things the old-fashioned way, not like you kids today. We had to read. Not, we had to do things the old-fashioned way.
That's right, you know. Yeah.
The best part of this whole thing is, like I said, you're buying into the hype machine and thinking, man, this might be a pretty good fight, you know. As soon as I hit the buy button, Freddie Pacheco comes on. You know, they're starting the pay-per-view and everything, and then they start talking about the main event. Freddie Pacheco says he's going to destroy Haugen. He said, isn't he really that good of a fight? He said, isn't he really that good of a fight? He's like, Chavez should destroy Haugen. And this, I'm like, seriously?
See, this is what I loved about the good old doctor and people like Larry Merchant. Yeah. Excuse me. this is what I love about people like Ferdy Pacheco and Larry Merchant. You know, you'd hit the buy button, they'd come on, and depending on whether Showtime was doing a fight or HBO was doing a fight, they'd always go, well, okay, Larry, what do you think? Or, okay, Ferdy, what's going to happen? And they both would tell you right between the eyes, oh, this is going to suck.
He's always good for that, you know?
Yeah.
He's always good for that.
Yeah.
So 130,000 people in Mexico City. Azteca Stadium is just massive. It's originally built for the 1968 Mexico City Olympic soccer matches.
Yeah.
It's hosted multiple high-profile soccer events, all of which turned out very large attendance, obviously. The moat and barbed wire are part of the field, installed to control unruly fans and keep players safe. On this night, though, one couldn't help but wonder if the barrier aided in the fighter and official safety or keeping the challenger from running away once the fight had started.
That's right.
This was bad, man. As soon as the bell rang, Haugen had so much venom that he was spewing in the press conferences and the fight leading into it. He said that, Chavez's record was built on beating Tijuana taxi drivers.
And, Greg, let's educate people here. Greg Haugen earned this title shot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he beat Camacho. I think he beat Camacho to get this shot.
I thought he beat Camacho twice, to be honest with you. I thought he won both of those fights.
Exactly. One was a drug.
He tested positive for marijuana, and then they took that change to a no contest or whatever.
Right.
He had some really good lines. The best line, of course, was the Tijuana taxi driver lines.
Yeah.
The other one was, they asked him about, are you worried about, fighting in Mexico and a Mexican hero on his turf, He says no. He said there aren't 130,000 Mexicans who could afford tickets.
No, Greg, his resume before this fight, he earned this shot. I mean, he beat some legitimate fighters.
Yeah, he's not a bad fighter. He wasn't a bad fighter. He actually started out in tough man contest.
Yeah.
Where he was actually rumored to be undefeated in those.
He beat one of our locals around here, Tony the Tiger Lopez.
Oh, I remember those. Yeah. I remember that, man.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget the ring walks. Haugen came to the ring and he was just completely relaxed. And he came out to Born in the USA. The Bruce Springsteen song, and
right.
It was just blaring, and everybody was just going nuts. I mean, I've never heard that much of booze and everything like that. Of course, then Chavez comes out to a huge pop, and, once it's time, man. The bell rings, and he just got demolished, man. I mean, he was just demolished in this fight. He dropped him numerous times in the fight. It was bad. It was really bad. Chavez refused to shake hands before the fight. He knocked him down a few times. There was a couple times in the fight where you actually got the feeling that Chavez was just prolonging this because he could have got him out of there in two or three rounds. And, it actually went five.
Hey, he wanted to give the boxing public their money's worth.
You're not lying, man, because you could see he's carrying this fight. You could see he would just ease up. Just a little bit to get him out of that round and put him onto the next round. I remember so plain. He said, he said in the press conference, he says, yeah, I'm going to beat Haugen. He said, but, I'm going to prolong. He said, I'm going to drag it out, give him a good beating. And that's exactly what he did, man.
Let's go back a few weeks. That's exactly what Sergey Kovalev did to John Pa. And Max said, people aren't going to like you for this. And Kovalev's like, well, I frankly don't care. I wanted to issue pain, man. This is what Julio Chavez wanted to do. And, we wouldn't be talking about TBE or Floyd Mayweather or anything like that because Julio Cesar Chavez went, 87-0 or 80, I can't remember.
89? I thought it was even 89-0.
Yeah, 89-0 before he finally lost.
Yeah, to a pretty good Frankie Randall. I mean, that guy was good. That guy was a good fighter.
Now, had Julio decided to retire, at 89, I think it was 89-0, had he decided to retire, we wouldn't even be considering Floyd being tied with Rocky Marciano because Floyd to have to keep on fighting forever before he got to
You know? I mean, yeah, 85-0. He turned 85-0 after the Haugen fight, and then he went to 89-0, and then ultimately lost to Frankie Randall for the first time, which was a very close fight, by the way.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't like it was a runaway. It was a close, close fight, you know.
And you know, this is the 30th anniversary of Showtime Boxing. And, you know, on Showtime Extreme, they're going to be showing a lot of these older fights of all the fights that they've covered over the years.
Oh, cool.
Because this week they've been showing the Rafael Marquez, Israel Vasquez, their four fights.
Mm-hmm.
It would not surprise me if they start bringing out a whole bunch of Julio Cesar Chavez fights, because he basically made Showtime Championship Boxing what Showtime Championship Boxing is today.
You know, he really did. And all this took place, you know, and a lot of people say, well, you know, there was Chavez and there was Mike Tyson, and they were both managed by or promoted by Don King. But Tyson went to jail. And once he went to jail, they said, you know, everybody thought Don King was going to fall apart. But he had Chavez. And Chavez, I mean, really carried that banner for him.
Julio basically had his own television network. Showtime was Julio Cesar Chavez whenever Don King needed Julio Cesar Chavez to fight.
Right. And, you know, a lot of people criticize Chavez's record going 89-0 and everything like that. A lot of people criticize that record because of the people he fought. The thing is, he fought every couple of months, and he would go back to Mexico and fight so his fans could watch him, because most of his bouts never took place in Mexico.
No.
They always took place in Las Vegas or the U.S. somewhere, or, you know, the Meldrick Taylor one. What is that?
That was
in Las Vegas at the Hilton,
yeah.
I think. But,
yeah.
You know, he had one against Kyun Duk Ahn, I think, on the Tyson undercard. That was in New Jersey. You know. So he was never really in Mexico. The only time he would fight for – and he fought for them. He fought for those people, man. So he would go back there and put on, like, you know, not necessarily exhibitions. They were pro bouts, but they were, you know, for lack of a better term, exhibitions.
Yeah,
I don't think he's doing it to pad his record. He's doing it to keep busy, and he's doing it for those people. You know,
nobody's padding his record. For those of you that aren't Hispanic oriented, or you don't understand how their culture works, He is the most popular fighter in Mexican history for this reason. He would go back and take fights that he probably shouldn't take, but he did it to please his people.
Right.
You know?
The Meldrick Taylor fight was a perfect example of that. I mean, nobody thought he was going to beat Taylor. Taylor had the perfect foil for him, you know?
And Meldrick Taylor, let's face it, he dominated that fight. Richard Steele gave Chavez a gift.
Well, I don't know about that, man. I think that right hand was more of a gift than anything.
That's true.
I think we talk about, you know, Meldrick Taylor was winning that fight, but he was paying, like they said in that documentary, you know, about that legendary night, he said that, you know, you look at Taylor's face at the end, somebody was hitting him. I mean, when you listen to, like, the announcers, it was like nobody was hitting him and Taylor was going on. Somebody was hitting Taylor because his face was a mess.
Oh, it was. He looked like he lost.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Julio, I mean, that right hand saved him, but, that's the closest that Julio ever came to losing a fight. Before he finally lost.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that had to be his toughest opponent. And I tell you what, even in that rematch when he knocked Taylor out in the eighth, that wasn't an easy fight for him either.
No.
You know, and Taylor was way past his prime there. I mean, Taylor just had the style. He had a good style for him. You know. Frankie Randall was the other one who had that good style. Because I thought in that second fight, you know, like I said, their second fight made me a believer. I thought that, you know, Randall was really getting the better of him in that fight. You know, so.
Hey, well, you can't be undefeated forever, man.
That's right.
You know, I always prayed that that Floyd would find that out, but unfortunately, he handpicks his opponents, so we never got the chance for him to suffer at all.
There you go. He's good, man. He's good. It's hard to hit him, man.
Yeah.
He's a good fighter. Got to give him props, man. Got to give it to him, man.
That's right.
May not like him, may not like his style, his antics or whatever, but, man, one thing's for sure, that guy can fight, man.
Yep, and, boy, he blows for money, so he is going to come back, folks.
That's right. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to our news and rumors here for this week. This is really good, really surprising. I knew he was fighting soon, but choice of opponent really surprised me. Errol Spence will be fighting Chris Algieri on April 16th. Now, we knew Spence was going to fight. We knew he was going to step up in competition. This is a, you know, this is a good showcase fight for Spence. I'm really happy for him that he got this fight because everybody seems to know Chris Algieri now because of the Pac-Man loss.
And also he beat Provodnikov, and you know he fought and he lost to Pacquiao.
Yeah, he beat Provodnikov, and he lost to Pacquiao, and he fought a very close fight with Amir Khan. I didn't have it that close, but everybody else seemed to think he won the fight. So
yeah, I did.
Yeah, I mean, so definitely, man, this is a good fight right here. Yeah. I expect Errol Spence. We'll talk about it more as it approaches, but I expect Errol Spence again, man, to walk right through.
Now, do we know who's going to be televising that?
It's going to be a PBC fight. I don't know who yet, but it will be a PBC fight.
Okay. All right.
Now, the one that's got me really excited, too, the undercard. I mean, this is just a great card, man. The rumored co-main event for the fight, for the undercard for that fight, will be Krzysztof Glowacki, the one who beat Marco Hook, making his first title defense against Steve Cunningham. So that's rumored to be the co-main event. So that should be pretty good, man. That's exciting.
All right. I can see that being a spike. You know, that could be a spike card. April 16th, that's a Saturday. That could be an NBC or CBS.
I think that's going to be an NBC or CBS card.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those two.
Okay.
Now, on Spike, on April 1st, it's a done deal. Adrian Bronner, Cincinnati Zone, the Can Man, the Problem.
Fighting the 45th rank.
Ashley Theophane, out of the Money Team, Mayweather, Money May Stable, the Money Team, Ashley Theophane, April 1st. How appropriate is that date for this fight? And it will take place in not Cincinnati, but Washington D.C. So go figure that.
Well, hell, with Floyd being involved, I'm surprised it's not in Vegas. You know,
Where are they going to put it in Vegas? You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, I think that, you know, he didn't do himself any favors in his last fight. He really didn't. Bronner, I'm speaking of, by not talking to the media, selling about 4,000 tickets, and I knew at least 1,000 of them were given away. You know, you're not gonna promote the fight. You're not gonna hype the fight. You're not gonna come back to you know, you want to have fights in your hometown, but you don't want to promote them. You don't want to do anything for them. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a hard sell to say, "Hey, let's go back to Cincinnati and have a fight."
Yeah, right.
You know, that's just a hard sell. So, yeah, not good, man. Not good. So,
Adrian will probably win this, but as I said earlier, doors are opening, so Adrian won't be able to hide behind the 45th ranked person in the world now. You know, I mean, after this, all bets are off, brother. You're gonna get a fight you probably don't want to take.
Yeah, I mean, he's got, let me see here, he's a WBA champion. You got Jose Benavides, Michelle DeRocco, Mauricio Herrera, Ruslan Provodnikov, and, you know, those are all in the top four there.
Yeah, I've seen Benavides,
Omar
I've seen Herrera.
You got Omar Figueroa in there also in the WBA.
Yeah.
That's not a bad fight. Thomas DeLorme wouldn't be a bad fight.
No.
You know, I would like to see him against Victor Paul. I'd like to see him against any of the champions.
Yeah.
Crawford, or Postal. And Troyanovsky's a good fighter, man. He's a really good fighter. And lineal TBE. So there you go.
Yeah. So there you go. Adrian, this is your last cupcake, brother.
All right. And Nike. We got some news from Nike here. They dropped Pac-Man. They dropped Manny Pacquiao due to his comments made against gays, comparing them to animals. Yeah, that'll do it, man. That'll pretty much get you dropped. Is a good move by Nike?
Yes.
I think so, too. Now, let's talk about our train wreck of the week here. The train wreck of the week, of course, is Pac-Man's fans.
Yeah.
Pacquiao's fans apparently burned some Nike shoes in protest. They set some Nike shoes on fire in protest for Nike dropping Pac-Man. A group of fans that support Manny Pacquiao burned a collection of Nike shoes at the parking lot in a historic Cebu Stadium in the Philippines. So they just started burning shoes.
That's
stupid, right?
That's wonderful. Real classy. You know, that's, yeah.
What is wrong with these people?
I don't know.
I'm just going to burn some shoes because they dropped my. You think what is it? What always stuns me about this is they're in the Philippines, and you know, hey, look, I mean, who was like? Give me like Michael Jordan, okay?
Yep.
If Nike dropped him, I'm not burning my shoes.
No.
Because Jordan's not paying me any money.
No, what?
Jordan's not paying me any money. I don't care if he built a new stadium in Chicago or whatever he did. I don't care what he did. He's not paying me directly.
No.
What do I care what this guy does, you know, or what trouble he gets into, you know?
Is the entire country of the Philippines on Manny Pacquiao's payroll?
Right. You know, I mean, seriously, it's like what, you know.
You're treating Manny Pacquiao like he's the godfather, like he belongs to the mafia or something.
Right. I'm like, seriously? I mean, so you feel this strongly about someone you've guaranteed never met. Guaranteed. Yeah. Guaranteed you've never met him. You probably don't know any of his family members. You don't know anything about the guy other than that he's a good boxer.
Yeah.
And he's a local hero. I give him that. He's a country hero. I gotcha.
Congressman running for the Senate, by the way, in the Philippines.
Right. You know, which I heard the poll numbers haven't even moved. I heard the poll numbers, he's still way ahead. This hasn't even affected it, from what I understand.
Wow, I thought it would be the Donald Trump effect and he'd start falling like a rock.
No, man, he's still there, man.
That's why he said this would be his last fight, because he wouldn't have time for any more fights.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man. But, I mean, I don't understand how people can just be like, you know, well, this is a guy you've never met. Just some dude, some random dude you've never met before, have such a strong feeling, and just, you know, Nike dropped him, so I'm not going to wear any of my Nike gear. Let's just burn everything.
Okay.
Get out of here.
That's pathetic.
Doesn't make any sense.
No.
So, which leads me to wonder, all right, because Nike, you know, you got to wonder, because they've had a lot of athletes there, and Pacquiao, of course, made the, you know, the gay slur and everything like that. So how does one go about getting dropped from Nike?
Well, you have to do like a Tiger Woods, you know, and
you don't, because I'll tell you why. Because Tiger Woods was retained. How do you get dropped by Nike? Gay slur or harsh anti-gay remarks will definitely get you dropped, as we saw with the Pac-Man.
What about with Lance Armstrong?
However, what else will get you dropped? And what can you do to push the limits but not get dropped? Say you want to be that guy, like a Kanye West or something like that, and just push that limit and see what can you do. This is what you do. Violence against women will definitely get you dropped.
Yep.
Ray Rice was dropped in 2014 for beating up his wife on camera.
That's right. We all seen the video.
We saw it. We all saw it. He was dropped.
Yeah.
Murdering your girlfriend will get you dropped from Nike. Oscar Pistorius found this out the hard way. The Blade Runner from the Olympics, from Olympic fame.
That's right.
The guy with robot legs who I claim that he still had an unfair advantage. I don't care. If you have robot legs, you have an unfair advantage. That's just my thing. All right? He murdered his girlfriend. He gets dropped by Nike. Murdering your girlfriend drops you from Nike.
Yeah.
Violence against children gets you dropped from Nike. Adrian Peterson was dropped for allegedly hitting his child and leaving marks.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think it's past the leg, because I think he was convicted, so he might, you know, I don't know.
He's still playing for the Vikings, so.
Yeah, he still plays for the Vikings, but Nike has dropped his contract.
Yeah, so. I know they did. Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Using steroids or EPO and then continue to deny it for years.
Yeah, Lance Armstrong.
A la Lance Armstrong.
Yeah.
Now, cheating on your wife, that's okay. Both Tiger Woods, soccer star Wayne Rooney, and Kobe Bryant had their issues with cheating, but Nike stood by both of them.
Actually, Bryant's case, it was actually a rape case.
Yeah, that's right. It was a rape case. You're right. Yeah. It was a rape case. But didn't they prove he didn't do it?
Because she didn't testify. Didn't want to testify.
He wrote her a check. That's right. Okay. So he
got it. And he also paid her off. You're correct. Yep.
All right. So you can do that and stay on Nike's payroll.
Yeah.
Also, in Wayne Rooney's case, a soccer star, he was accused of being with multiple prostitutes, and of course, he's still with them.
That's correct.
All right. Dog fighting.
Michael Vick.
We'll get you dropped for a little while, but then re-signed. Ron Mexico, a.k.a. Michael Vick, was dropped after the dogfighting incident, but then re-signed later on after he, you know, after he came back.
Yeah, he actually, they brought him back as soon as he was released from prison.
So, once he served his time, you can come back and you can work for us again.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what you can do to push the limits with Nike, and so as long as you don't cross those lines,
yeah,
you know, you'd be all right. You know, you could cheat on your wife and stage dog fights for a little while. Don't use steroids.
Yeah.
No violence, and then we're good, man. And we're good. We're good.
Yeah, don't
off your girlfriend a la Oscar Pistorius, and you'll keep your contract. You know.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about this one, man. This is an interesting story here. Deontay Wilder versus Alexander Povetkin. Of course, Povetkin is his mandatory. This is heading to a purse bid. This is going to be a tough one, man. Conventional wisdom here says that Povetkin's team will win the purse bid. In 2013, they paid $23 million for Vladimir Klitschko to come to Russia and fight Povetkin. They got pretty deep pockets over there, man.
And he did, and he won. So now we're really going to find out what the PBC's financial status really is, because we'll see how high this goes. You know,
it'll be interesting, man, because I'm not sure Heyman and company will be willing to match this type of money for the fight. I mean, for what? I don't think it'll bring in that much.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's going to bring in much overseas. You know what I mean?
No, it won't.
He's not Klitschko. It's not, Klitschko, you know, he's a big name already. But Wilder, just getting started in his career, Klitschko was X amount of years already in. And plus,
that's
he's
right.
popular over in Europe, you know?
That's
so
right, yeah.
That's a big deal, man.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you're going to be willing to pay for this fight. It'll be interesting, though.
We'll see.
Check this out. Now, the school of thought here was that if Povetkin won the purse bid, Wilder could just drop the WBC title and fight Charles Martin for the IBF title.
Well,
but,
guess what?
That's no longer, because Charles Martin's now fighting Anthony Joshua. That's not an option. So you have got to fight this guy.
That's
those
right.
Russians carry deep pockets. It looks like you may be having to go over to Russia, man. I don't
that's
know.
That's right. That's right. And, of course, Charles Martin fighting Joshua, that broke a record, you told me.
Gone in 90 seconds. Tickets for the IBF World Heavyweight Championship between Charles Martin and Olympic gold medalist Anthony Joshua sold out the O2 Arena in London for April 9th in just 90 seconds.
Okay.
90 seconds. How crazy is that, man?
Hey, Golovkin, I'd like to see you pull that off.
Yeah, I tell you what, man, 90 seconds, man. They love – this is a big deal in the U.K., man. It'll be the first British heavyweight champion since Lennox Lewis, right?
That's right. Yeah.
First British heavyweight champion, at least –
it'll be a U.K. champion, because Frampton and Quigg, whoever wins that fight, either Frampton will retain his title or Quigg will win it. So the number one change, it'll be British champion number 13 if Joshua beats Martin, as we all suspect.
Yeah, they're coming on over there, man. I'll tell you that, man. And he's a good fighter. He's a good fighter. I don't know if he's quite ready for prime time, but I can tell you he's ready for Charles Martin.
Yeah,
Charles
Martin is the heavyweight division of the Powerball winning ticket, okay?
Yeah, I'm wondering how much he's getting paid for this. I got to do the research and find out how much he's actually getting paid for this.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah.
So now also too, we talked about Juan Manuel Marquez last show, talking about those rumors he wants to fight. That there's going to be a him and a Cotto fight. There's been a lot of rumors about him returning to fight Cotto, but according to Bob Arum, Marquez wants a tune-up fight first, especially after being off for close to 2 years, or off for two years anyway.
That's correct.
Due to knee problems. Marquez is now 42. Word is, though, that Miguel Cotto will be fighting on June 18th. And while Marquez's name is being talked about, this actually may not happen on the 18th.
Well, like I said last week, they've already reserved the Barclays, so you would think they'd have to get a big name.
Yeah.
Somebody. People aren't going to show up out of blind loyalty if they don't know who's going to be on the other side of the ring.
I don't even see. Who are they going to get? You know what I mean? I mean, seriously, who are they going to get? If he stays at 160, You know, he's not fighting Golovkin. He's not fighting Canelo.
No,
he's not
this,
fighting Saunders. He's not fighting, I mean.
I think this will be a 154.
Yeah, I do too. And he, let's go down to 154. He's not fighting any of the Charlos. He's not fighting Arislandi Lara.
No.
You know, he'll get creamed by Arislandi Lara.
Hey, maybe you can have a rematch with Austin Trout.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, you know.
Although, you know, Trout won that fight. I don't know if he'd want to do that. You know.
Even if you look at the welterweights, all the welterweights are booked up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Amir Khan's booked up, Kell Brook.
Well, you could get Danny for June. Danny Garcia.
That's interesting. That's real interesting.
Garcia Cotto, what do you think? 147.
Oh, man, that's an interesting fight.
And they're both Puerto Rican, and Garcia has fought at Barclays many, many times. You want to sell tickets? There you go.
I think that's a very good fight, man. That is a very good fight, very interesting fight. I would love to see it. Even at a catchweight, I would love to see it. And
to
150 catchweight or 151 or something like
that. We know Garcia is going to fight the winner of Porter Thurman, okay? We know that. But are you telling me that the winner on March 12th is going to be willing to fight on June 18th?
No, there's no way. No way.
So, since Danny doesn't have anybody, why not Danny Garcia and Miguel Cotto?
Because what they're probably going to do with Thurman, when is the Thurman fight again?
Thurman and Porter is March 12th.
All right, March, April, May, June, July, August. That fight's going to take place in September. I would say that takes place in August or September, probably more along the lines of September.
So, you like my idea? Danny Garcia and Miguel Cotto, they're both Puerto Rican. It's Puerto Rican weekend.
I don't think it'll come off, but I like it. I like the idea. I wish it would come off because I like the idea.
Because you're running
Garcia even if Garcia loses, it still shouldn't affect his style. I mean, you're going up and waiting fighting Cotto. I mean, that's not like a cupcake, you know?
No. And
he showed me a lot. I tell you what, he showed me an awful lot in that last fight with Canelo. Really did.
You mean Cotto?
Yeah, Cotto showed me a lot in the Canelo fight.
Okay. So, yeah, Puerto Rican weekend. You got two Puerto Ricans. You want to sell tickets in Brooklyn? There you go.
There it is, man. There it is. Matchmaker extraordinaire, Ringside Robert.
Yeah, I just made your next fight, Miguel. Let's see you make it happen.
Gabby Penagaricano is going to tank that, though, and he's going to fight some stiff, I guarantee it, on Tuesday.
And let's see if Angel Garcia is capable of matching wits with one Freddie Roach.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Freddie Roach has been talking just an enormous amount of smack about Teddy Atlas. I don't understand that at all. It's not like those two are going to get in the ring and fight.
He says
that he ruined Teddy Atlas is ruining Tim Bradley and this and that.
When this fight was first made, everybody, all the boxing fans weren't talking about the two fighters. They were all talking about Freddie versus Teddy. You know.
Yeah, and that doesn't make any sense. Teddy Atlas doesn't talk any trash. I mean, it's not like he's a trash talker, you know.
No.
And Roach is over there bashing him, and Roach bashes all the trainers. I don't understand that, you know. Yeah. And what do you think you're going to get in the trainer's head? You know, I mean, seriously, dude, come on.
Have you decided? Because I've heard a lot of people recently picking Bradley over Pacquiao. Do you honestly think Tim Bradley's going to beat Manny Pacquiao? I think this is set up for Manny Pacquiao to get his going-away gift.
Depends on if Pacquiao, you know, look, if the same Pacquiao showed up for the Mayweather fight, yeah, probably.
If the same Pacquiao showed up, then Bradley would win. But how many, I mean, look, they already gave Bradley one gift against Pacquiao. They're not going to give Bradley two gifts unless Pacquiao shows up and looks awful.
I think it could be interesting, man. Like I said, if Pacquiao shows up and looks like Pacquiao we expect, then, yeah, I think he wipes Bradley again.
Yeah.
But the thing is, man, is that Pacquiao's older, man, and he was way past his prime. We all said he was way past his prime in the Floyd fight.
Yeah.
Both fighters were way past their prime. But Manny Pacquiao has been knocked out. He's been through a lot of wars.
Yeah, but I don't know if Tim Bradley can do enough to really. I mean, he was. Let's face it. He was given a gift the first time they fought. The second time they fought, Pacquiao certainly dominated Bradley because he won the fight 8-4. I see the same kind of result here. How much difference is Teddy Atlas actually going to make against with Tim Bradley? I mean, the only fight they've worked together was Brandon Rios, and Brandon Rios was basically a pushover.
Right. I don't see. I mean, you know, it takes time to build that up with a trainer. You're not going to notice it over one fight. He looked good against Brandon Rios, but it's Brandon Rios.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, Manny Pacquiao was supposed to be on a different level. But I've heard a lot, because I listen to other shows and talk to other people, and everybody's trying to convince me that Bradley is going to basically step in the ring and make it look like Manny Pacquiao didn't belong, and I'm not convinced of that.
No, I don't know where they're. I mean, I don't know where they're getting that from out of Bradley's past few fights and out of Pacquiao's past few fights. I mean, you know, there's no shame in losing to Mayweather.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you know, and there's no shame in losing to that.
No.
So I don't know where they're getting that from. I think that it could be, you know, like I said, I mean, sometimes you get old in the night. He's got a lot of distractions. He's really got a lot of distractions now.
Yep.
He's running for Senate. He got dropped by Nike. He's getting all these, you know, all the backlash from his comments. Yeah, I think that could play a part in that.
It could, but Pacquiao has been used to getting distractions his whole career and has normally come out and done well. I mean, look, I believe he should have canceled the Floyd fight if he was legitimately hurt. And possibly rescheduled it for some other time.
Yeah,
but
then again,
it may not have happened.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, it's tough when you got a contract for $100 million in front of you to say, yeah, I don't. My shoulder's not 100%. I mean, that's a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
To give that money, it's a tough thing to sign that $100 million check and then having to give that money back because you don't feel up to it.
Yeah.
That's a tough thing.
Yeah, I know. So you know, but. No, I believe unless Tim Bradley can actually blow out Manny Pacquiao, I believe this is set up for Pacquiao to win this fight.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, man. It'll be interesting. I don't think it's a bad fight. It's not necessarily a fight I want to see.
And I'm more interested in all the undercard fights, to be honest with you. You know, they look a lot better than the main event.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll see what happens with it. This one, you're gonna get a kick out of this one, and
okay.
I don't know if you heard it or not. Floyd Mayweather recently said that just a couple days ago that they interviewed Floyd Mayweather, and he says that Triple G at 160 would be easy work if he came back to fight.
Oh my God! that's just Floyd wanting. I'm telling you, he's laying the groundwork, trying to get an easy payday, brother. Because he needs to restore his coffers. He blows through too much money, you know. I mean, my God.
Do you think that fight will ever come off?
No.
It's been one they've been clamoring for. It's been one that everybody's been kind of clamoring for. Ever since he beat Pacquiao, they said that Triple G is the guy.
Yeah, well.
He held 140, you know, 154-pound title. And
now I think Triple G will take anything like that. I mean, he won't deny it. But let's see if that comes off. Let's put it this way. I'd like to see that instead of Floyd Garcia.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Danny Garcia and Miguel Cotto, that's an interesting fight. But Danny Garcia, Floyd Mayweather, that's another hand-picked opponent. Sorry, right. Danny, you're not in the class.
No, he's really not.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it funny, though? I mean, he's retired. You know, and Floyd is up there in age now. I mean, for a boxer, he's ancient, you know.
Yeah.
You know, with the exception of, like, George Foreman and Bernard Hopkins, obviously.
Yeah, right.
You know, but he's still
with or Roy class. Jones, or Roy you know, Jones trying to fight Robert, fans.
Right. Robert Guerrero, you know, he outclassed him.
Yeah.
Victor Ortiz, same way.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are not bad fighters, you know. And Danny Garcia is a great fighter. And we still think that he would be outclassed by him.
I mean, yeah,
that's,
exactly.
That's something, man.
That's why I'm abdicating Garcia Cotto. I think that the more I talk about that, the more fascinated I am by that whole. That would be if you're going to book Barclays Center for June 18th.
Oh, can you imagine?
That's That's the way to fill it up, brother.
Could that actually go off, though? Could that actually happen with the promotions and everything like that?
Remember, that's the problem because...
No, that's right. Jay-Z, that's Jay-Z's guy, and then Heyman,
yeah.
There's no way that fight comes off.
Yeah, unfortunately. Darn. My fight just went out the window. Thank you, Jay-Z.
That's right. And there you go.
Yeah.
Well, hey, it's good to dream.
That's right.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Robert on Twitter at Ringside Robert, or you can call Ringside Robbie's Corner at 773-572-7781 and listen to all the podcasts and history lessons. I'm at Ringside 73, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Ringside Reporter podcast. Check us out on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com, on Twitter at Ringside73, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Ringside73. Subscribe to us on iTunes.